So I want to share a story, Sarm. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. I've been dying to unpack it with you. We'll just do it live on the air.
Just dive in.
And welcome back to another Partrain. My name is Evan Singer. I'm one of your co-hosts. We got Matt Cermak here as our other co-host. As always, guys, in case you're new, thanks for hopping aboard. Our mission on the Partrain is to help frustrated golfers enjoy the ride again on and off the course. And we believe if you can learn to smile through bad golf, you can basically smile through everything. Trust me, we've lived it, okay? We feature interviews from PGA Tour pros, best-selling authors, CEOs, mental coaches, and many more to make the hardest game in the world feel easy and give you the tools to enjoy the ride. Guys, we had the great pleasure of having Colin Morikawa's coach since he was 8 years old, Rick Sessinghaus, on the show last week. And we were recording this Sunday night after Colin won his second major at age 24. So amazing timing. We're going to go into things we've learned from Rick last week, how we saw that apply to what we watched this weekend, and try and pick out some nuggets for your game to improve mentally, physically, emotionally, et cetera. But before we do, a quick word from our friends at Roback. Cermak, I got a quick story for you, okay?
Let's hear it.
Went to a golf store today, Roger Dunn, in L.A. Okay. We were picking up a new driver for my fiance's dad, Tony, for his birthday. And we were getting like a shaft change, so I was going to pick it up. And, you know, every time I go to a golf store, you know I'm walking around. You know I'm feeling the fabric. You know, I'm seeing what's there. And I don't think I haven't really looked for clothes in a golf shop for a long time because, you know, all I wear is Roback apparel now. But the difference of every other brand's quality, once you start wearing Roback performance apparel, it is night and day.
Off the charts.
I mean, if you guys have worn Peter Millar, Travis Matthew, Nike, Adidas, Polo, whatever, it doesn't compare. Roback performance apparel is the best. It's all I wear now.
Well, here's what I'll say. I mean, all that stuff, all those brands are great, but there's something to be said about just the look of Roback. I mean, I think it's kind of got a younger, sexier feel, and it's just as comfortable or more comfortable, like we said, with all their options than those other brands. So it's great to see it blowing up. I mean, I feel like every, like you said, every couple of weeks, it's showing up in new places, different stores, seeing more people on the street. I mean, it's a movement. You like this hat right here? Yeah, that's Roback with the rope.
Roback hat for those Fourth of July special.
Thanks.
Go to the show notes. Tap this episode. Go to the show notes. There will be a link in there. All you got to do is tap that link, one tap, and just go shopping on roback.com. The 15% off on your first order will auto apply in your cart. So no need to enter a code or anything. And if you're wondering where that link is, if for some reason you can't access the show notes, just always go to our social accounts at the Partrain. Instagram, Twitter are the biggest. TikTok is on the rise, Serm. There's always a link in our bio to get 15% off your Roback apparel. Do it.
It's a great discount. It's a great discount. Get it.
So, Cermak, before we get to this episode on Colin and learnings from the Open, first of all, how great to have the Open back after 2 years. Like, such a thrill. Arguably my favorite tournament of the year. But, Cermak, I mean, we're grinding tonight on Sunday afternoon. I mean, I didn't tell you this before we started the show, but I was up at 6 and went to my buddy Sam's house. And you know I don't drink much anymore. I had a Bloody Mary and a Mezcal on the rocks with nothing in my stomach at 6:30 in the morning this morning. I have been dragging all day, but I knew I had this podcast tonight, and the Partrain faithful is what I care about the most. And so
you were fired up this morning, great buzz going. Then you just kind of hit a wall, and now you're coming back. Right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to come back. I'm going to keep trying to keep my energy up throughout the show. But I'm dragging in you. You're on a phone right now because you had some tech issues with your computer. So we're just making the work. We're chugging
it's
tonight.
Tough.
We're making the most of it.
But here's what's great. I mean, the British Open, the Open Championship, you and I, it's our favorite major. We've always bonded over that. And what'd you think?
Yeah. I mean, I've It's extra special to me because I've been to St. Andrews twice. I went to the Open in 2010, actually, ironically, when Louis won. Nobody knew who he was. But I just love the waking up early. I love staying up late and watching it. I love the authenticity of it. You almost feel that it's the birthplace of the game that we love so much. Yeah. And it's a creative, different style of golf than what you have on the PGA Tour. So, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's the best. It's just something, like you said, it's something different. It's so refreshing, and it's quite a look into these golf courses, the design, and then what a lot of these players can do with it or what they can't do with it. So yeah. I think it was quite clear who was the champion golfer of the year with Colin Morikawa, but there was a lot of good storylines with Spieth and with Louis, and Ron was kind of flirting with a potential two majors in a row, and DJ was up and down. So it was, I guess, not the drama you always look for on a Sunday, but credit to Colin, how solid this guy is.
Yeah. Well, it was much better than the Masters, right?
Right.
You knew Colin was in control very early, but there still was the chance. Spieth was making long birdies. He was always kind of in the hunt. And the people that wanted drama were kind of waiting for Colin to make a bogey at least, right? And have Spieth be within one. And this guy was just making 15 footers for par. It's got to be at least four times, 3 to 4 times. I remember this morning. But sir, the whole purpose of these episodes after the majors is to try and unpack something we saw that the average player can take to their game. Right. And this is a unique episode because we just got to hear about Colin's approach last week.
Yeah, how about this? How about this timing?
And, this is really special to be able to kind of reflect when it's fresh. And if you guys haven't listened to Rick Sessinghouse's episode, the one before this one, definitely do it. Maybe even before you listen to this one, because it'll give you so much great context on Colin's routines, his mental approach, and the way that they prepare. So let me start here real quick, Serm.
Yeah.
We wanted to ask each other to start what kind of our big takeaways, our biggest takeaway from our interview with Rick last week, Colin's coach. And mine, I'll start with a quote that Colin said to Rick after he won the PGA, his first major. He told Rick about how, because they always talk after every round and they unpack what happened, the learnings, and maybe some mistakes, so that they constantly have this feedback loop to improve. And he told Rick, he said, I saw my name up near the leaderboard on Sunday. Never saw that before, obviously. And I thought to myself, well, someone's got to win this. Let's go get this done. And he said that to himself, and he said it to his caddy. Now, the easy thing to do is to see yourself in a spot you've never been and think to yourself, don't choke. Oh, this means a lot. Imagine if I win, it could change my career. I always wanted to win a major. I have to win. I don't want to lose it. Don't make mistakes. Now, right. Those are all normal thoughts. But I think what Colin is such a great teacher of is his ability to, number one, just go after what he wants. So many people are trying to prevent what they don't want. Colin goes after what he wants, but he's also really good at resetting and learning. And I just remember that quote. Yeah. And I think you saw that fire today, right? I mean, he was so committed. He talked about in his post-round interview, Storm, he talked about commitment. His goal was to commit to every shot. And you've talked a lot about that over the years.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He's in the record books pretty quickly here, right? First time ever playing in the Open too. And he wins it. He's just kind of machine-like, and that's not to say there's no personality in there. He talks to his ball a little bit, he's not like some other players that they're so deadpan, maybe a Louis a little bit, or even an Adam Scott. But like we talked about with Rick, he's been said, people say he's the Ben Hogan of our time. He's that good of a ball striker. A couple quick stats, Av. I think that our listeners will find it interesting. He was 15th in driving accuracy for the week, which is really good. You know, he wasn't number one, but that's really good, especially out there with all the trouble. He was 15th in greens and regulation. Also really good. Solid. Not number one, but really solid. He was 11th in putting. Really, really good.
Really good.
You know, but then he was, well, here's the one I think a lot of people can take away from. He was not even in the top 50 in driving distance. He averaged 295. And, you know, out there, the ball runs a lot, but Ev, you pointed this out. He was in a lot of three woods. You know, he was kind of mixing up shots and talk about a guy who had a plan and really stuck with it. But I think all these guys have plans and they stick with them and play well, some better than the others every week. But he just, nothing seems to phase him. Mm-hmm. Clearly he's been phased before, but when he's in on like this, like to me, Spieth was there. He was pushing a little bit. But there was no doubt in my mind those last 6-7 holes that Colin was going to lose. Do you feel the same way? Like, that's crazy to think about. Like, this is over. This is in the bag.
Right. And we take it so much for granted. Think about it. We've got a guy that's set a record in the first two rounds that's won a British Open in his group, right? Forget all the talk about if he blows it on Sunday. That's another conversation. If we have time for it, we can talk about it. But Jordan Spieth in front of him, and we just assume that this 24-year-old who's only won one major, has been on tour for 2 years, has it in the bag. Think about that. Like, think about how impressive that is.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's the Terminator. Yeah. I mean, maybe that was Brooks's nickname, and he certainly still is. Another top 10 for him. He's unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, that PGA Championship at Harding Park, he went out and just won it, right? He hit that incredible shot, you know, on 16 or whatever the par four was, short par four. And then this, it seemed like never a doubt. He just kind of stuck to his routine and his plan. He doesn't deviate at all.
Yeah. Well, you know what this tells me, sir?
Go ahead.
You bring up a really good point. Makes me think of something. So I'm going to hammer this point home throughout this episode.
Do it.
But people are going to say, well, yeah, but I can't ball strike like Colin Morikawa, right? Or I can't hit this many fairways. But think about what Colin did. Colin knows in our interview with Rick Sessinghouse's coach, he talked a lot about comfort. He finds things that he's comfortable with because the higher your comfort level, the easier it is to commit to a shot. Well, your point about three wood, your point about hitting greens, Colin knows his strength is ball striking. So what was his priority? Get it in the fairway, right? Tiger did this for years, Serm. He would lay back because Tiger knew he was the best in the world with irons, long irons included. So Tiger's priority, especially at Opens, was to get it in the fairway.
That was a good example at Hoy Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Colin is really good at being surgical with his plan, your point about not deviating and leaning into where he's comfortable. So for the amateur golfer that's out there maybe scoffing at this saying, I can't hit the ball like Colin Morikawa, how could I possibly learn from this? I think the point is, what shot is your most comfortable shot? Where think about, like, actually do some homework and think about where your strengths in your game are and how can you double down on those strengths or tweak your strategy in the other areas where you're a bit weaker to give yourself a better chance for your strength to come through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I was playing a course yesterday with my brother and a couple of some buddies, and my teammate was like a 5-6 handicap, and there was a lot of short par fours out. So it was like a lot of like 330 to 380 par fours with bunkers, like well bunkered in the fairway. So you have options, like, and it was tight, like it's like driver, three wood, or iron. Mm-hmm. And my buddy Connor, kind of a few holes, would say, like, well, what should I hit? You know, I was like, dude, you know what you want to hit. You know what your instinct is here. You've looked at the hole, just trust it. right? So to your point about amateurs, you know, oftentimes your instincts are okay, and it's okay to have options, right? It's easy. We've talked about this. It's easy to get influenced by what your opponents are doing or the guys in your group hitting driver all day. Sometimes that's not for you. Don't get caught up in it. You know what I mean? And yeah. I just don't think, and then get back to Morikawa. I don't think he gets caught up in anything. He's like such a freak of nature with his processes, his routines. And Rick Sessinghaus talked a lot about that. It's like they work at I was listening back to that episode. They work on behaviors that will have intention for the round. All the work's got to be done prior to the round. Right. So then when you go out there, the plan's in place, you just got to commit and execute. So it's incredible.
Yeah. So here's a perfect example of that, of what you just said, behavioral driven intentions. So it would be easy. The natural thought of just how we're wired is nerves, excitement, anxiety, because you're entering, you know, a fourth round of a major with a chance to make history and win. Right? That's a big moment. It's natural to feel nervous and excited and anxious. But what Rick is saying that they do is, what is your intention for a behavior that you can focus on instead of the meaning or the result or the anxiety or what may go wrong? What behaviors can you focus on that give you your best chance? So he talked about maybe focus on finishing or holding your pose. On the first tee, holding a finish.
I'm going to stick to finish. My first tee thought when I'm nervous and anxious, like we all are on the first tee, stick to finish.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do. Stick it.
So that's a behavioral intention that helps keep you more balanced. It helps make you more committed. And you focus on that instead of everything around it. Right. And I think that was really one of the big themes. And I want to go into this in more detail as we go in this episode. But
yeah.
To me, that was one of the big themes, is Colin and Rick are really good at constantly getting data and information and saying, oh, okay, yeah, that time on that final round, this shot actually didn't quite, it kept leaking left, or I didn't quite feel comfortable. Well, what is that? Is that a physical thing? Like, was that a physical tendency where maybe you over-release your hands or commit with your body, you kind of lean, you know, hold back, come out of it. There's all these things that might be like swing flaws that is information that they can go work on, but also like comfort level, mental approach. There's things that they're constantly learning.
Well, I think what they do, and this is what the best players in the world do, really at any sport, but it's always they're working on their process and routine prior to the event or after the event, right? Mm-hmm. Rick talked about this is the biggest travel schedule Colin's ever taking on, you know, up until this point as a pro. Scottish Open, British Open, week off, Tokyo for the Olympics, and then another big run. So it's all about
WGC after that.
WGC, right? Yeah. So this is uncharted waters, but the amount of time they spend on, all right, what's the diet like? What hotels are we staying in? What's the stretching routine like? Amount of sleep because of the jet lag, like. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't think all the best players in all the players out there are that obsessed with this stuff, and that's the way they want to be. But this is what separates, you know, why a guy like who's 24 who's won two majors, has only played in a few events.
Right.
This is again the Ben Hogan of our time as a ball striker, and who's really worked hard on his putting to change his grip, the claw, and. Dude, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. But for the amateur golfers listening out there, you can work on your processes and your routines, you know, before you play and before you practice.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's when you can control that stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
So I want to share a story, Sarm. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. I've been dying to unpack it with you. We'll just do it live on the air.
Just dive in.
I have Sarm. You know my game as good as anyone. We've had a lot of swing coaches on the show over the years. And I think I fell into a trap that a lot of golfers do, which is you get into swing prison, as one of our coaches said, where you are constantly tinkering. You want to learn the next big thing. You think there's this magic bullet. And you take it out to the course, and the entire time you're thinking about that swing thing. And so you play tentative and tight, and you play bad golf, right? And I did that. And I know all the principles around course management, mental approach. And even me was getting caught up. I was getting caught up in the golf swing for too long, right? And a couple months ago, I decided, you know what? I'm going to stop this whole cycle. I'm going to learn about my tendencies. I'm going to learn about my swing. I'm going to educate myself so I understand what I'm trying to do. Jake Thurm, a PGA Tour instructor we've had on the show, I've been working with him. I was doing one simple drill to understand how to use my dominant side, my right arm. I decided when I'm playing, I'm not focusing on it. I'm swinging free, committed. I'm focusing on my course management and maybe one swing key for me, right? Well, guess what? Over the last 2 weeks, after ballooning up from a 5 to a 9.5 handicap over the last 2 years, the last 2 weeks, using the things that Rick talked about and that Colin does, I've shot a 76, 4 birdies on the front, 1 under on the front. Haven't shot under par on many nines in my life, probably 2. It was easy. It was fun. And ended up shooting 76 and then 77 yesterday. And here's what I've started to do, Cermak, that I think Colin does amazing, is when I, let's say I chunk a chip, right? Nobody likes that. That it's a frustrating thing. Even let's say you're greenside in a drivable par 4 and you chunk your chip, right? I played in really thick, wet rough yesterday. The entire round, I was learning. I was thinking to myself, huh, okay, well, that pitch motion that I use in every other shot probably wouldn't work for that lie, right? So my next shot, after I chunked it, I thought, okay, yeah, I probably came down a little too steep. Maybe try and, you know, come a little bit more inside or gouge it out a little bit more or take a less aggressive line. Like, the point is, yeah, is after a mistake, I was thinking to myself, okay, was that a physical thing? Yeah, I probably swung too hard. Maybe I wasn't committed. Or maybe that was like a short game lesson, right? Yeah. Where the lie didn't match the shot I made. And now I'm like gaining information and I'm excited the next time I practice to say, okay, I've had this shot before. What did I learn last time? What should I go practice on the range so I'm more confident? Another thing I learned recently is I would be, if I hook a drive, I'm under the tree, right? And I noticed, Serm, that I was constantly chunking my punch out. The toe was just grabbing and it wasn't getting any roll. I was too chipping from the rough when I was trying to get up by the green. So guess what I did? I went to the range. I practiced punch shots for 25 minutes, just hitting stingers. Honestly, one of the more fun range sessions I've hit. Yesterday, Cermak, I get under a tree, deep into the trees. I'm out 190 with wet, thick rough. I go, oh, perfect. I'm actually kind of excited to play this shot because I just practiced punch shots for 30 minutes yesterday. And I hit one of the best shots of my life, a punch 4-iron that rolled 10 feet from the flag to an elevated green, 190 yards out. One of the greatest shots I've ever hit. And so I think the lesson there is I wasn't just upset in the round that I chunked 2 punch outs and I'm upset because I hooked the drive. I remembered why I hooked it. Okay, I was quick, or I didn't think about my swing keys. I wasn't committed. Then, okay, I need to practice my punch shots more. And so that informed my practice routine. Then I had more confidence, more commitment, and I executed a great shot the next time I played. That's what Colin Morikawa and Rick do after every round. They learn. The goal is to learn.
It doesn't, I love the stories. You know, you were texting me yesterday. You were so fired up because it was kind of light bulb moments, right? Like, But the light bulb moments don't, the light bulbs don't come on unless you let it come on, right? You're just letting golf reveal you, not define you, right? Yeah. That chunk chip is not defining you. It's just like, you know, like, and you tie it back to Colin so well, because Colin's like, this is like, whoa, this is some real serious, interesting information. Now, what do I do with it?
Yeah.
I tell that I suck and I can't play that shot and my mind's messed up, or wait a second, you know, maybe I picked the wrong shot. know, it just didn't commit.
And right? You know, I mean, what else? The other I'll say, Cermak, that has totally changed the way I play golf. And we should probably talk more about this on the show, is club selection. I've never realized until recently how I've looked at club selection incorrectly almost the entire 15 years that I've played golf.
Are you talking about all around or pitching, chipping, or just
mostly approach shots off the tee? But let me give you an example. Yesterday, here's another quick story. Yesterday I was playing and I had a par five in. It was a short par five. I smoked my best drive of the day. I had 190 to a back flag. And I was like, well, I kind of wanted to hit the seven, which is about 180, because just get it on the green, give myself a look at eagle and long with this thick, wet rough to be short-sided long to a back flag. It's not good. But the last second, I made a mental error. I said, well, why am I overthinking not hitting the six when the six flies 190, which is the exact distance of the flag, right? So now I'm not fully committed. I actually hit it too good. It takes one big bounce and goes 10 yards long. And now I two chip and I out of thick rough, like I just talked about, it was on that hole, and I make bogey when I was in the driver's seat to make eagle or give myself a birdie putt or make birdie. Right.
And you,
so the lesson
we've hammered this home, you cannot miss it long. So keep going.
So the thing that I've realized, Cermak, is number one, learning about yardages is so important. Right. So taking those little nuggets we just talked about, remember when you go long with a club, remember what the yardage is. Because what I'm learning is every club has like a 10 to 15 yard range, depending on if you hit it really good or really bad. Right. And so if going seven iron there
and being in the rough, you know, a little bit of a flyer lie.
So what I've learned, what I've done these last 2 weeks when I've shot good score, best scores I've shot in 2 years, is I think about yardages differently. If a flag is 150 and my nine iron's 150, 155, and it's a back flag, I'm hitting pitching wedge. Right. And I maybe put it a little back of my stance and I put it to the middle of the green. And guess what's happened sometimes? Sometimes I catch it so good, I'm 10 feet below the hole.
Right.
And it would have been a great shot with my nine iron, but I'm hitting greens. I'm hitting so many more greens by thinking about what is the club that can't go this distance?
Correct. Right? Correct. Well, dude, you have talked a lot about this. And we've talked about a few episodes too with some guests, and it's, now it's setting in, right? Because it can be challenging because you're almost like surrendering to the, maybe in a way like, oh, maybe, you know, like I'm not going for birdie here. But it's like, what does Scott Fawcett say? Even the best players don't make, you know, there's a lot of holes that birdie's just tough. And now you're seeing more putts throughout the round, right? And you're just, your mind's just more at ease. Dude, the front yardage is everything. I was playing yesterday. That's kind of where my mind is at. If it's after, I mean, if it's a shot that's over 150 yards, I'm always like, that's kind of where my mind kind of builds off of. What's the front yardage? Right. And one shot yesterday, it was a flyer lie, 190 in the rough, uphill lie, back pin. I committed to it. I smoked it. And what happened? 20 yards over the green. Because in my head, I was playing in a match. I was like, well, maybe I can put this 20 feet. And really, I should have took a club less. And if I make the perfect swing like I did, you might get there. But if it's a little short, I have a simple chip as opposed to a 30. Yeah. So it was like, no, remember, I made the wrong decision, but at least I committed to it, right? It's better to commit to the wrong shot than not commit at all. But that was the only time I did that yesterday. And, you know, I shot 72. Which wasn't good enough for, you know, my brother and his buddy Steve. They're 68 and they're 69s, but that awareness is so key. Mm-hmm. And everybody listening right now, you've got to really double down and leave the ego at the door. And, you know, and don't try to be a hero. Don't Don't go, stop going for flags. Well, you every single time.
You know what's so ironic is that front nine I shot one under. It was the best job I've ever done of club selection. And so many times I took what others and your ego might have seen as a conservative play. And guess what happened? I was hitting my iron so good. I made four birdies in nine holes in the front because, and that's hitting good. That's like hitting more conservative clubs. So think about that. Think about that for a second. I was playing, quote, conservatively, but committed, and I made four birdies.
Because you hit how many? Well, you probably hit seven greens.
Oh, at least. I think I hit eight. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, man. I mean, you've been playing since, I mean, you've really turned the corner, knock on wood. But what are you attributing it to? Thinking about golf differently.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing is nothing is that that's what I really want to hit home. I don't usually like talking so much about like this shot to this shot and our rounds, but I do think that this is, I'm finally in the last 2 months, we've interviewed some amazing people and I've started to put it to practice. And I'm now finally starting to experience how scratch and better players play golf. I've finally started to do that in the way that I think about it, the way that I'm committing, the way that I'm choosing clubs off the tee, and the way that I'm choosing clubs into the greens. And I now understand course management. And so many amateurs think that course management is kind of like this baloney game that you can only do when you're good enough. But it's really the thing that's holding them back. There's a reason why 15 handicaps go at every pin versus Colin Morikawa, who's putting it 20 feet. Realize that. There's a reason why Colin Morikawa is Colin Morikawa. Obviously, he's incredible. Now the number three ranked player in the world.
Yeah.
But he is so disciplined with the way that he plays and his plan that if more amateurs played that way, they would shoot 5 to 10 better scores if all they did was listen to Cermak tell him what club to hit off the tee, what line to take, and what clubs to hit into greens.
Well, Evan, I'll just share this about my game. I mean, that was been a huge breakthrough for you. Yesterday was I felt like I was pretty disciplined in this sense. I hit a couple of decent drives at the start of the round, but I wasn't feeling super comfortable with my driver. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a long course. It was tight, a lot of decisions. There's a lot of par fours. You can hit driver or you can lay back. And, you know, we're in a two-man match, right? It's a one best ball. I'm playing with a 6 handicap and I'm going against 2 scratches, my brother and his buddy, you know, and we're getting a few shots, but they're hitting drivers and ripping it all day, ripping it, right? On those 340 par fours. And in my head, I'm like, you know what? I don't hit it that far, but chances are they're not making eagles, even though how close they get to the green. They're not going to make eagle.
Right.
They're just not, they might, it could happen, but they're not. And I just said, you know what? All right, I'm going to hit 3 wood here. You know, I'm going to play a hybrid here. This par 5, it's a dog leg left, and I don't draw the ball very well. I'm going to hit a 3 wood off the tee, I'm going to lay up, and I'm going to give myself a chance to make a birdie.
Yeah.
I'm 100 yards out. And that's an ego thing, too.
Because you feel better. Let's get to the why, Serm. You feel more confident in your wedges and your putting than hitting a draw off the tee.
Correct.
Plain and simple.
Correct.
Right? So just like Colin Morikawa chooses what he's most comfortable with because he knows comfort leads to commitment and confidence that he plays his game.
For sure. And now that's revealing in the sense, well, man, you know, when you practice, you need to work on being able to at least hit a draw once in a while. That's something I got to get better at, right? It's hard to take driver out of the bag because you don't feel comfortable. But at the same time, in the moment, on that day, you have to be committed and you have to know your game. And I felt like, you know, I was able to do that. But it's hard, man. It's hard when you're, especially when you're playing with guys that are just ripping it by you, you know. But there's a lot of ways to play good golf, and you've had a total breakthrough in your game, you know, with this new approach. It's great to hear of.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I feel like that's probably a good place to end. I feel like we're probably near the end here, but I will say, I've just started to really obsess over learning, I think, is the big theme. Everything I'm doing, and this is a huge lesson for life, by the way. I think yeah. Rick said curiosity is the ultimate enemy of fear. And curiosity is a great way to break yourself out of self-doubt and that negative self-talk, because everything is a moment to learn. And I know it sounds cliche, but I've lived it. It is the way to live a less stressful, less anxious life. Right. And I think the big takeaway for me, Serm, is I'll end with this. More people need to think to themselves, maybe after a bad shot or where they're nervous, of what do I need to do here, instead of what will this mean, right, or what will happen right, if something it. Goes wrong. Because again, that's what Rick and Colin work on. In that moment, he hyper-focuses to what do I need to do here? So that could mean hit 3-wood. That could mean favor the left side. That could mean keep it low because there's wind. That could mean stay in your posture or hold your finish. Those right. are all executional focuses.
When you're so focused on, you know, the shot, you know, the environment, right? The wind, the grass, you know, the layout, the course design, right, of that hole, and then your shape, your speed, you know, and your maybe your trigger thought. In that minute and a half or less than a minute, when you're in your zone, when you have a cadence and a process with all of that, there's less time, there's less moments for the negative stuff to creep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll say that this is this is what we love about this show. We got a great episode going live a week from today, Cal Shapiro. And I'll say this, as he talks about the doing a deep breath before he hits his shots. I put that into play for my putting yesterday. Deep breath right before I swing the putter head, and I putted unbelievable. I lost the slide, and I'm a good putter, but like I just felt just so tensionless.
Yeah.
And we're going to dive more into that. You're going to hear more of that next week, everybody.
Look at the teaser.
The breathing, but I put it in play, and that was, we brainstorm on the show, we learn, and we get better. That's it, man. Yeah.
Well, that's what's cool. Is to me, I get excited about taking something new to the course, a new thought, a new approach, a new commitment level. And I hope that the listeners out there feel that same excitement, where you don't have to go to the course with like 20 thoughts filled with anxiety. Take one thing and try right. it. Serm chose to take a deep breath before putting. See what it does to your putts. Remember the putts that you didn't do it on, if you didn't do it every time. What was the difference, right? What were your mistakes? What caused it? And then get better and think about it.
If you, what you have done in the last few weeks is you are committed to learning how to play this game better, and you're enjoying the process. And if everybody, and if listeners out there can get to that place, the results will happen, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So it's great stuff. And it was a great Open Championship. Morikawa is going to be here to stay, my friend. He, 6, 7, 8 majors. Who knows? This guy's so young. And if he stays healthy, it's just, he's pretty fun to watch.
And remember, he's 5'9", 160. I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually 5'8" or less.
Right.
He's not a freak athlete like DJ or Brooks.
And right? You know what? Do you think he cares?
No. Plays his game.
Yeah. Because he knows he can, at his best, he's the best. Clearly.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you guys as always for hopping aboard. We hope we added some value to your game and life. If we have, definitely feel free to give us a subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We're doing new content there every day. So if you like the show, you'll love our social channels, and DM us. And we love interacting and helping you guys. But sir,
it's the best, man.
It really is, guys. Like from the bottom of our hearts, it's the coolest feeling.
Yeah.
That it's connecting and people are sending us messages every day.
Yep.
More messages every day about how we're helping them shoot break 80, break 90, all these crazy things. And we're humbled to be helping you along your journey.
And you guys helping us too, though, Ev, right? Yeah. That's the beauty of it all. We're learning so much from the community, you know, and just sharing ideas and thoughts about the game we love.
Yeah. So. And so, Serm, Let's end them. Let's send them off with this. Let's say they chunk a chip next weekend. Let's say they hit it OB. Let's say they put one in the water. What do they got to do?
Just enjoy the ride.
See you guys.
Thanks. Take care.